It is good to be together here. So we are glad to see you. If you are some of our itty bitties, our little ones, or if you are young at heart, if you were here yesterday, or if it's been a while, to the single, married, divorced, any kind of relationship, whomever you love, whatever your background, whatever your abilities, you're welcome here. A few announcements before we get started. Jamie Whitwer is our liturgist today. Our radio sponsor, Greg and Lori Curl, in honor of Lori's grandma, Hazel Beecher. I'm so sorry. Also, you might notice we have a surprise piano player. So Sherry was very graceful to step in with Denny not able to come and then Christy being sick. So when I called Sherry on Thursday afternoon and said, hey, she very kindly agreed. After she said no, she very kindly agreed. So thank you so much. Also, we have a couple of different hymns in here that are printed in the bulletin because we went through and found some more familiar ones. But they'll be on the slides, and I will announce them. We have poinsettias for sale, $25 donation to decorate in here during Advent. If you'd like to donate in the name of someone you love, in memory of someone. We're taking community Thanksgiving dinner pies Wednesday, November 27th, 8 to noon. And that evening, Wednesday, November 27th, is the Ecumenical Thanksgiving service, which will be held at 6:30 p.m. at St. John's Lutheran. Help Excite Little People is coming. You might already have seen boxes and things all over downstairs. It's wonderful. So we need some help with cleaning toys. Tomorrow, 1 to 3 p.m., Friday the 22nd, 10 to noon, Monday the 25th, also 10 to noon. There will be an Old Bafana Yuletide concert, Sunday, December 29th, 1 p.m. So put it on your calendars and then watch for more details. Also, we have adult ed today after church. We'll be discussing the book of Job and why do bad things happen? It's an important question. Rose. Oh, there you are.
We've had some positive feedback on our Christian fellowship after service. So we are trying to get as many people involved that would like to be involved to help bring small treats, you know, Dunkin' Donuts or something very simplistic. So if you are interested in that, please contact me. And I think you all know how to get a hold of me. If not, I'm in the church office on Wednesdays.
So coffee hour every Sunday. And if pretty much everybody pitches in to help, you have a couple times a year to do it. And it's really nice for fellowship. Also, Russ Pieper is turning 90 on December 8th. 90. So, cards and happy birthday wishes to Russ. And now let's turn our hearts and our minds to worship with a few moments of silence. and let it out. Deep breath in and let your shoulders, your body relax. Let the tension flow out of you. Feel love of God and love of neighbor in your hearts. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in love. Breathe out peace. Breathe in love. Breathe out peace.
Come into the land of God. We come seeking the land of love to live as people of Christ, gathering to grow as a community of love, to follow in the ways of goodness. Come, young and old, friend and foreigner, for all are welcomed here. Come to live and grow in love. Thank you, Holy One, for this beautiful gift.
And our first hymn will be number 4, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You.
Thank you.
Thank you. And please join me in our prayer of unburdening. Divine Creator and Lover, the poor are your treasured ones, widows, orphans, foreigners, and refugees. Forgive us when our ways devour your beloveds. We don't mean to cause harm, yet we do. Forgive us when we consume more than our fair share, knowing our excesses deny the poor things they need to live. Forgive us for building bigger closets and not clothing the naked. Forgive us for ways that ravage your earth, putting the future, the poor, and other beloved creatures in danger. Hear our prayer, Holy One. May your justice and peace overwhelm. Amen. And hear God's promise to us. The Spirit of love hovers among us and in us. She calls ceaselessly for us to turn from the priorities of empire and become our better selves. She is endless grace and patience. She is fire. She is love. She is with us, for which we all say, please sit. Without exception, everyone is welcome at this table. So if you are hungry, if you are curious, come and be fed. Our scripture tells us of all kinds of tables, all kinds of people who were hungry, who needed to be fed. Ruth moved to the city of Bethlehem, which means house of bread. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Through his life, he broke bread with all kinds of people. He sat at table with women, with tax collectors, with sinners, with Pharisees, with scribes, with his friends. He broke bread with them and he ate. On his very last night, he chose to sit there and talk with and teach and wash the feet of his beloved disciples. He told them to serve each other as he had served, to love each other as he had loved. At that table in that long night, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke the bread, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat and remember." Remember this table. Remember all the tables. When you eat in the future, when you break bread, remember that you are beloved. Remember to serve. He took a cup of wine. He poured and blessed it and said, "When you gather at table, drink and remember Remember my life given for you. Remember my blood, which was spilled. Remember this table, where we eat together and all are welcome. Holy Spirit, we ask you to send your blessing on these gifts, this bread, this wine, on all who eat and drink from this cup, here in person or joining us at home. May we be fed. May we remember who you are, who we are, who you ask us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, our brother, our teacher, our friend, we thank you for this continuing invitation to gather at your table, to be taught and fed and loved by you, inspiring us to teach and feed, reach out and love others. May we be the people that you call us to be. Amen. We'll have our kids' time in a minute. First, Margaret.
Announcement first. The Sunday school is collecting food for the local food pantry, and the table's looking a little sparse today. And next Sunday is our last Sunday. That's why I wanted to take a minute and announce it. So if you come by church this week and you'd like to give to our table at the food pantry, by all means stop, or next Sunday will be our last Sunday, and we could really use your help. Thankful, grateful, blessed. Let's continue giving to others. Well, now I'd like my friend Henry Niederklopfner to come up. Morning, Henry. How are you?
Good.
Good to have you here. Well, today is our annual presentation of Bibles, and we give Bibles to our second grade students, and that's Henry. So today is one of my favorite times of the Sunday school year. And maybe that sounds funny because it's just coming up a minute and doing this, but you know what? I am able to give you this book that you hopefully will use the rest of your life. So God's words, whether they're past or they're present or future, his words and his promises are all the same. So here you go, my friend. You and your family can enjoy reading that. I'll give you a handshake. And if you want to take it back and come back up for kids' time, that'd be great. Okay, you can go. Thank you. All right, kiddos, come on up.
Hi. You can sit wherever you want. Hi, everyone. Last week, we talked a little bit about the book of Ruth, and I'm going to talk about Ruth again this week. It's one of the only books in the Bible, only two, that are named after a woman. Ruth was really important, though. In the part that we're going to hear today, after you go to Sunday school, Ruth, who is a widow and a foreigner, and her mother-in-law, who is also a widow, and they're very poor, both of them. They don't have anything. They eat by something called gleaning. It sounds like cleaning, except for with a G and an N. Gleaning. So, that's a law, a rule. It's in the Hebrew Bible that says farmers. Has anyone had a garden? Have you had a garden at your house? Okay, if you haven't. Have you had a garden? That's all right. It says farmers have to leave all the edges around their farm, not pick anything there. Also says if when they're picking, they drop something, they have to leave it. I don't know about you, I drop a lot of things, like really a lot. It also says they can only go through once and pick. And all that food that they leave, it's for the poor. It's for widows, it's for refugees, it's for people who need food. It used to be a lot harder to pick crops than it is now. Now we have machines. Used to be people did all of it. Often people still do a lot of it. How much food would that be left over? We have a farmer here. We have farmers here. If you had to leave all the edges all around the circle, and if you had to leave anything that fell on the ground, and if you could only go through once and pick, how much would you leave? I think it's a lot. Really a lot. That's because God wants us to share from our food, from what we have, with people who need it, like we're doing with the Sunday school table. All right. So let's pray. It's okay if you don't want to hold hands. I like to, but it's your body. You get to make all your choices. Within reason, as your moms and dads say. Holy God, bless the children in our church and the youth and adults. Help them to grow in wisdom. Help them to grow in faith. Help them to grow in love of you, love of neighbor, love of themselves. Help them to be generous and kind, to help each other, especially those in need. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, now you can go to Sunday school, follow Mrs. McFarland, use your walking feet.
Our reading this morning comes from the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And here we read, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you, so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman, Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you say, I will do." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin, and that his name may be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the father of David. Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Jamie. And our gospel reading today is from Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearances, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people came and put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Have you heard of the Bechdel test? Alison Bechdel created this in 1985. It's a pretty straightforward way to analyze a movie or other work. To pass, a movie needs to follow to meet 3 criteria. It has to have at least 2 women in it. Bonus points if the women have names. The women talk to each other, and they talk about something other than a man. Now, this is a super low bar. There are terrible movies that pass and really good movies that fail. Movies that do pass this can still be really, really sexist. But it's shocking how many movies don't pass. The Avengers, Lord of the Rings, any of them. The whole original Star Wars trilogy, even kid movies. Aladdin, The Lion King, Little Mermaid. Less than half of most popular movies over the last 40 years would pass this test. Something called the reverse Bechdel, saying, is this true of men? Over 95% would pass. This is part of what makes the Book of Ruth so remarkable. It does pass. It's the only book in the Bible that does. Society has historically valued one gender, one orientation, one race, one perspective more than others, but God values the least likely. Ruth has followed her mother-in-law, Naomi, to Bethlehem. Ruth the Moabite. Ruth the Moabite from Moab. There are a few options for them. Gleaning is one. They follow the harvesters and pick up the leftovers. This is how they survive. So Naomi tells Ruth to dress herself up in her very best, implies that Ruth is extraordinarily beautiful, and go to Boaz, who is a relative and a wealthy man. Naomi says, uncover his feet. There's quite a lot of discussion and debate in biblical analogy, exegesis, about whether uncover his feet is a euphemism. It's an interesting question. We have no answer. Skip ahead, Boaz marries her, and they have a son who is grandfather to King David. In part, we didn't hear. Ruth asks Boaz why he is being so kind to her, so kind to a foreigner. And he tells her that he has heard of her goodness, of how loyal she is to Naomi, and her goodness inspires him. There's a word used throughout the Book of Ruth, chesed. Remember that. Chesed. The idea is translated loving kindness. It's the virtue of Ruth, loving kindness. It means giving oneself fully, with love, with compassion, with imagination, with courage. It's not easily translated into English. Sometimes it will say love, sometimes steadfast love, sometimes mercy. There's implied covenant, an obligation that we take on with each other, an endurance. Steadfast love. Ruth isn't just nice. She isn't just well brought up or polite. She is loving and she is faithful. She even puts her own life at risk multiple times. And this word, chesed, used over and over and over for Ruth, it is also used over and over and over for God. God's care for humanity, chesed, loving kindness. It is a key attribute of God. Psalm 136, God's steadfast love endures forever. Exodus, God passed before him and proclaimed, "The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, keeping steadfast love for thousands." In the Talmud, commentaries on the Hebrew Bible, Rabbi Simlai says, "The Torah begins and ends with chesed." Undeserved kindness, generosity, God continues in loving kindness despite all the failures of humans. Over and over, God continues in loving kindness. It's found 250 times more in the Hebrew Bible, a primary virtue. Sometimes toward people we know, as Ruth to Naomi, but sometimes to strangers, to people in need. This book demands that we see others as humans, not as stereotypes. Demands that we consider what it might mean to be a refugee, an immigrant, someone who is poor, who left their homeland in a time of famine, what it means to be vulnerable, a Moabite in Judea. It insists that we have to take kindness and compassion seriously, not as small things, but as the work of healing the world, that we look at chesed, this loving kindness, not just in our own lives and in our families, but all around us, especially among the marginalized. There's another concept in Judaism, tikkun olam, healing the world. The world needs to be healed, and that happens through chesed. Establishing divine justice, divine love, peace throughout the world, healing division and inequity and hatred through loving, steadfast kindness. It's an action. It's a commitment. And Ruth is a God figure, a foreigner, an immigrant, the least of all people, a Moabite, for heck's sake. And she is a God figure. Boaz describes God. "Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." God as a mother hen. Jesus uses this image too. God as protector and comforter. chesed. And we see that in our gospel reading today as well. The widow's mite. There are a lot of not good interpretations of this. You may have heard them. The widow's two pennies are worth more than all the money of the rich. You will sometimes hear her praised for being extravagantly generous. She gave all she had, which is more than the wealthy give. She gave out of her poverty when they give out of their wealth. $10 million from Mark Zuckerberg would mean less than $500 from me. We would totally take $10 million from Mark Zuckerberg. Just putting it out there. But it wouldn't affect his life in any way. $500 would affect my life. Not hugely, but it would. But the real story is a lot more complicated than that. Give until it hurts. Jesus does point to her incredible giving, but at the same time, he is condemning the system for taking money from her. It should be taking care of her, not asking her for anything. He says, "Do you see this woman? This woman. Have the disciples been so impressed with the long robes and the long prayers that they miss that the powerful and the privileged are devouring widows? They show their faith off. They display their wealth and their education. And they want you to think, this is a sign of God's blessing. This is a sign of God's love. This is a sign of faith." And Jesus says, no, you want to see faith? You want to see love? Look at her. Look at her with the two pennies. Right before this, he blasts the system. The scribes, they devour widows' houses. In the days leading up to this, he has offered one scathing critique after another of the political and economic exploitation he sees all around. He says of her as she leaves the temple, "She, out of her poverty, has put in everything she has, all she has to live on." An impoverished widow in first century Palestine, Israel, living on the margins, no safety net, no husband, no family to advocate for her, no pension, no anything. She had two pennies and she put them in the collection. So what happens to her next? We don't know. We know that Jesus is dead a few days later. Is she? Maybe. She had two pennies and she put them both in. She kept nothing. He's not pointing to her as a model of giving, saying, give everything you have until you cannot eat, until there is nothing whatsoever left. That's not what he wants. He's not praising her for endangering her life that is already right on the edge. He's saying, look at what she did. Look at what she did. It would be interesting to hear his tone. Is he heartbroken for her? Is he outraged at the Pharisees, the scribes, who take these last two pennies from a widow instead of giving her food? It doesn't say. But if Scripture tells us anything, it is watch what unlikely characters are doing. Watch when women talk about something other than men. Watch how the poor can show us God. My friends, there is a force of love running through the universe. Steadfast, true love. God's chesed is unshakable. And may this inspire us to be loyal to God and to God's ways of compassion and justice. May we be open to binding ourselves with the afflicted, with those in need, with noticing, with seeing them. May we commit to loving kindness. Amen. And our hymn, that one is the same. Number 459, Come, O Fount of Every Blessing. God invites us to share our prayers, prayers of joy, prayers of concern. God knows the details.
I just wanted to quick say note to remember people who are in of our members and all people who are in nursing homes or in a hospital, having surgery, anything, keep them in our prayers.
Any more prayers to share today?
I guess I want to bring it up that I got a message from Debbie Schutte and that Vera McFarland is in hospice now. Doesn't mean that, you know, she's going to go, you know, quickly, but we'd like to keep her in our prayers because it's always good to see her when she's here in church, just to keep her and her family in our prayers.
We do keep our prayers for Berta and Lyle Kuno, and we want to make sure that God's will is upon them. And a special prayer for my very special friend, Debbie, who has an upcoming procedure coming this week. So I want to ask that God be with her. And
I would like to pray for something that it's hard to have to come true, and that is pray for peace.
And on a happy note, thank you, Sherry, for playing so beautifully this morning.
And let's take a few moments of silence for the prayers we hold in our hearts. Holy God, we pray this morning for your presence, your comfort, wellness with all our members, our friends who are in nursing homes, who are in the hospital. We pray for Berta, for Lyle, Harlan, for Sandy and Gary, for Debbie, for Christy and Steve. God, you know the details. We pray also for peace in our hearts, in our families, in our communities, in our world. Holy God, show us the way. And we give thanks because there is much good and beauty in our lives, including music. So we give thanks for music. And you, Sherry, for providing it this morning. For all these things and the prayers that we hold in our hearts, Holy God, we ask you to hear us this morning. And we do have a bit of good news included. La Rolita is a public transit system. It's in Bogota, Colombia, which is a sprawling metropolis of like 8 million people. La Rolita is driven by women, employs 300 plus female drivers, and is led by a female director. It's the only public bus operator in the city and has a record low number of injuries. Helps women feel safer. A survey from 4 years ago found that 85% of women in Bogota had experienced harassment using public transit. Pays a living wage over the national minimum wage, gives Social Security benefits, pensions, flexible work hours. They're building a daycare. Also, these buses, 195 buses, are electric. They're cutting emissions seeking to cut by 50% by 2030 and to be carbon neutral not too long after. Can make a profit and do good at the same time. Thanks be to God for that. And God invites us also to share from our many, many blessings. Oh, after we do the prayer of Jesus. You can use whatever words are comfortable. This version is from Holy Wisdom Monastery that is in Madison. Holy One, our only home, blessed be your name. May your day dawn, your will be done, here as in heaven. Feed us today and forgive us as we forgive each other. Do not forsake us at the test, but deliver us from evil. For the glory, the power, and the mercy are yours, now and forever. And we are invited to share from our blessings to build this community of loving kindness.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WR